Welcome to North Place Church in Durban, South Africa. To any of our guests who are joining us today, we are so glad that you're watching with us. Please reach out to us here online, comment in the comment section, or give us a shout through Instant Messenger. We want to know you're here. All you have to do is type guest in the comment section. We'll reach out to you very quickly. Also, I want to say welcome to any of our friends from around the world who are joining us here online, especially to our IAG friends. Thank you for joining us today. North Place, we love you. We miss you so much. I cannot wait to get to see all of you, to give you a big hug. We are just missing you so very much. But as usual, we want you to know we love you, we care about you. And if you need prayer, please make sure that you reach out to us and click prayer and write prayer down there in the comment section, and we'll reach out to you. Don't forget, click share on the share button. That helps others to know that you're at church today, and invite them to come and to be at church with you. Listen, this month is an important time for us here at North Place Church because we're studying something that I believe is truly transformational. We've been learning together how one biblical writer began to lead those who was following him and himself, how they dealt with overcoming anxiety in their life. Philippians, the book of Philippians, is a very real letter. It's raw. And Paul was writing to people who were going through all kinds of hardship, and he himself was writing from prison. And it's a letter that we can relate to, because it's a letter about overcoming anxiety. Anxiety is real, and it's debilitating. God's word has something to say about how we overcome anxiety, and that's what we're going to be looking at together. See, the world that we're in right now, the time that we're living in, it truly is a crazy time. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what your socioeconomic status. This pandemic is affecting everyone. From the matric student who is struggling to know, am I going to be able to take my exams? What's going to happen with my education? To the single mom who, you know, before this crisis was just hanging on by a thread, and now she's dealing with overwhelming circumstances. To the small business owner who leveraged everything in their life to get this precious business off the ground, and now it's been deemed unessential, and they're dealing with, what am I going to do about this situation? Paul's letter to the Philippian church really echoes to all of us: be anxious for nothing. Let me read it to you from scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7 says this: rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Then get this, this is my favorite part. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This month, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about how the peace of God will help us to overcome anxiety. Perhaps those words that Paul says there ring hollow maybe in your mind or in your heart. Perhaps when someone says something like, be anxious for nothing, it sounds like just another piece of Christianese, just another self-help slogan. Perhaps it sounds more irritating than helpful, like Paul was just saying, get over it, everything's gonna be okay. However, I want you to understand, Paul's instructions were far more than that. You see, this idea or this concept that Paul was just saying, hey, just get over it, or it's an empty slogan, it really does illustrate something that is a problem with modern Christianity. You see, when we reduce the Bible to simple statements or truisms or slogans or our bumper stickers or cliches, when we reduce the Bible to that, we take away its power to really make a difference in our life. Paul was not introducing them to another pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of cliche. Paul was equipping those who were following him, those who were under his leadership. He was equipping them with the tools that they would need to genuinely overcome anxiety. You see, we overcome anxiety by reframing our mind and our heart. That really is what we're learning this month. And that's what you and I need to get into our spirits. We can overcome anxiety by reframing our mind and reframing our heart. At North Place, see, we have learned that when you study the Bible for what it actually says in its context, not some mystical, magical spell or some bumper sticker cliche that if I repeat it enough and throw a few dollars or a few rands or a few whatever in the offering, then poof and presto, it's going to come true in my life. But when I take God's word for what it actually says, guess what? It begins to make a difference in my life. Transformational change happens. And that's what we're all about at North Place Church. We're all about transformational change through God's word. See, the context of the statement, be anxious for nothing, is where we learn the tools that we need to apply that principle in our life and to really begin to change. So last week, we started looking at this and we started looking deeply at the book of Philippians, and we learned a couple of things about how we overcome anxiety. Number one, we overcome anxiety by embracing Christ's sufficiency. See, there is only one Savior in the world, and you're not it. There's only one God, and it's not you and I. We must put our trust in God, not in ourselves, not in others, not in governments, not in anything. We have to put our trust in God. In fact, when you're really dealing with anxiety, there is something truly empowering about recognizing that it's okay to say, I'm not enough. It's okay that I'm not enough because Christ is more than enough. The second thing we learned last week about overcoming anxiety is that we have to prioritize things that matter. See, foolish Christians, foolish people, they prioritize things that do not matter and things that will not last. Over the last several weeks, our lives have certainly been tested by putting our trust, our confidence, our prioritizing things that do not matter and do not last. I mean, take a look at the stock market, for instance. It's like it's been on a roller coaster ride. When we put our confidence, when we put our trust, when we prioritize things like the stock market or the economy of man or the power of the rand or whatever might be the case, we set ourselves up for disappointment. You see, it's not that it's a bad thing to be the kind of person who worries about important things in your life. But as followers of Jesus Christ, the way that we're able to live in peace and operate in peace is when we choose to prioritize the most important things, eternal things. I want us to keep exploring the tools that Paul was giving those who were following after him, those who he was leading, in how to overcome anxiety. Let me read to you from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It says this, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you who I love and I long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord. In this way, my dear friends." Think about that for a second. These are people that Paul loved. These are people that Paul cared about. And he said, stand firm in the Lord in this way. Again, when we read our Bibles, we read it in context, and we understand that when Paul says in this way, what he was referring to was what he had just written to them in Philippians chapter 3. When he says in this way, he's referring to chapter 3:15 when he talks about the way that mature Christians behave. And that word mature there means complete. Christians who really have come to a place of completion in their walk with Christ. He says mature Christians embrace Christ's sufficiency and they prioritize eternity. Immature Christians are the kind of people who believe that their performance is their source. immature Christians are the kind of people who focus on temporal things, on earthly things, on building wealth and gaining blessings in this life. Paul says, listen, don't follow these people, because if you do, you won't stand. He says, stand firm, and the way that you stand firm is to not be like those who put their power and their trust in themselves, to not be like those who live their lives prioritizing what they can gain and what they can get in their life. He said, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. In other words, these are the kind of people who make their spirituality and their religion and their lives, their prioritization about what they can get in this life, and all that does is set you up for disappointment. Instead, you stand firm by not being like that, but being the kind of people who've put your confidence and your trust and your prioritization in Christ. And he goes on and he says to them, listen, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. He says, yes, I ask you, my true companions, help these women that have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Here it is again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Reframe your mind, reframe your heart. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now it's fascinating because Paul begins to pivot. He talked about the fact that anxiety happens when we put our confidence in ourselves, and anxiety happens when our priorities are out of balance in our life. But then he goes on to something else, and he talks about something that anxiety does in our life. You see, anxiety unchecked wreaks havoc on our relationships. I mean, think about it. We've all been locked down for a long time now. Many of us have been in our house for weeks on end. And think about how the stress and the pressure of our current situation is affecting our relationships. If you've ever experienced anxiety, or perhaps you're experiencing anxiety right now, then you know that the people who bear the brunt, they bear the weight of that stress and that pressure, that anxiety in your life, it's those who are closest to you. Paul was talking about two of his friends, these women who had labored with him in the gospel. And he said, listen, they have some sort of conflict going on right now. Now, we're really not sure exactly what the conflict was. There's some commentators that say perhaps they were in a lawsuit against one another. There are others who say different things. We're not exactly sure, but we do know this. We know that the pressure of their circumstance and their situation had caused their relationship to become so dysfunctional that Paul was writing this letter to correct them and say, as followers of Jesus Christ, the way that you relate to one another, even under pressure, has to be different. Overwhelming worry, fear, doubt, pressure, all those things that produce anxiety in our life cause us to become so narrowly focused on me or my problem that we lose sight of our responsibility of being a peacemaker. Listen, let me let you in on a secret to this whole letter, this whole book of Philippians. I've encouraged you during your daily 20 to read it. And I've encouraged you during this time to notice certain words and phrases that are repeated or certain words or phrases that are important. And what you're going to learn about this book, about overcoming anxiety, is that really it's all about the peace of God. This whole letter is about peace over anxiety. The antidote to anxiety in your life and in my life is the peace of God. We as Christ followers are invited to participate and to propagate that peace. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Why are they called children of God? They're called children of God because they look like God, because they act like God, because they do what God does. What does God do on the earth? Why did Jesus come to the earth? He came to the earth to bring peace. You see, We overcome anxiety by reframing our mind and our heart to gain a balanced perspective. When you and I are struggling with anxiety, our perspective is out of balance. Anxiety tricks you into believing that it is all about you and yours. It's all about the big problem that you're facing and how it's going to affect you and the chaos that it's going to cause in your life. As long as I am focused on me and my problems, how I treat others will become secondary. Now, I know some of you are watching this broadcast right now, thinking, no, Pastor, that's not me. I'm just worried about the world. I'm worried about these problems. But here's what anxiety does. It's so tricky because what anxiety does is it convinces us of the nobility of worry. It's almost as if we wear it on a badge. Like, I have to be worried about this because nobody else is worried about it. I have to run around like a chicken with my head cut off. I have to run around in a huff. I have to run around like my world is falling apart because I have to bear the world on my shoulders. Anxiety tricks you and I to becoming so myopic that we excuse our behavior towards others because it's our badge to be worried and concerned. See, pressure, anxiety, it exposes my perspective. It exposes what I'm focused on. You may be like, no, Pastor Randy, I'm worried about losing my job because if I do, I can't feed my family. Or you may say, I'm worried about the employees at my company and how am I going to take care of my employees? Listen, I want to be very, very clear to you. Those are all very real concerns. Paul was certainly not dismissing the concerns of the Philippians, and God is not dismissing your concerns and my concerns. In fact, it's quite the opposite. What we are talking about right now is our perspective in light of our concerns. You see, when my thoughts and behavior towards others are inconsistent with a correct biblical perspective, that's when it begins to create havoc in my life and my relationship. Paul was calling the Philippians to have a perspective of the imminence of Jesus. And when we don't have that perspective, anxiety starts to win in our life. What did Paul say? Paul said, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." I love that word near because it carries a twofold idea. It carries the idea that Jesus is here with us in our suffering. I don't have to be overwhelmed. I don't have to treat other people in a way that causes chaos. I don't have to treat other people in a way that causes conflict because Jesus is here with us in our problem. Not only is Jesus here with us, but Jesus is coming to rescue us. You see, the way I treat others when I'm under pressure, when I'm in anxiety, it reveals my perspective. The question for you and I today is, what is your perspective? In your suffering, in your pain, whatever you're facing today, do you really believe that Jesus is near? Do you believe that he's with you in your suffering? Do you believe that he's with you in your pain? Do you believe that he's with you in your circumstance? Here's what Paul understood. When you really believe that Jesus is near, you'll treat people differently. When you really believe that Jesus is our rescue, the way you relate to others will change. Instead of perpetuating chaos, you will perpetuate peace. Romans chapter 12 is a great parallel passage to this particular passage. By parallel, I mean it really supports the ideas and the concepts that Paul was talking about. I want to encourage you during your daily 20 to read it this week. Let me read verses 1 and 2 to you. It says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve and know God's will, his good, his pleasing, his perfect will." Once again, Paul is helping them to understand that when your perspective is correct, when your mind has been renewed, you're going to be at peace. You're going to know God's will. You're going to know what God is doing. I've had so many people message me and call me during this time and say, Randy, what's going on? What is God doing? Here's what I can tell you, friend. When our perspective is that Jesus is near, we can be at peace because we know that God is at work. Even when I can't understand it, even when I can't explain it, I know that he is near and I can be at peace and I can perpetuate peace in my relationship with others. You see, we can win against anxiety by choosing the perspective that Jesus is near. When I'm anxious, you can tell in the way that I treat other people. But when I'm at peace, you can also tell in the way I treat other people. Paul was saying, listen, you can overcome anxiety. You can beat anxiety when you know Jesus is near. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to keep bringing you back to this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Anxiety has a way of wreaking havoc on our relationships because our relationships lack the perspective that Jesus is near. You and I can overcome anxiety. We can overcome anxiety by embracing Christ's sufficiency. He is more than enough. We can overcome anxiety by prioritizing what matters, what is eternal. And we can overcome anxiety by changing our perspective. The question we have to ask ourselves is, how am I treating others? How is my relationship with others? Is what I'm doing and what I'm saying causing peace? Is the way that I'm living in relationship to others out of a place of peace? Or are my relationships in chaos because my heart and my mind is in chaos? We can overcome anxiety today, but we're not going to overcome it on our own. We're going to overcome anxiety by embracing the fact that Jesus is enough, that my attention and my focus and my prioritization is on him, and his presence is with me no matter what. Can I pray for you today? Father, I thank you so much for every person who's watching this broadcast, whether they're watching it live or whether they watch it when it's rebroadcast. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now to allow the peace of God to flood into every living room, every bedroom, wherever anyone is watching this video. May the peace of God flood in right now and the presence of Jesus overcome the pressure of anxiety. Father, I pray right now, reveal yourself to each person. And Lord, I pray, let our minds and our hearts be renewed as we think on those things, as we dwell on those things that Paul tells us to in Philippians. May we replace and reframe what's in our head and what's in our heart with this truth: Jesus is here. Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.